Well, I don't know if I'm ready, but I'm here. Isn't that half the battle in life, is to be here and to maybe, Christian, I'm gonna be able to control some of this morning, I think. This pastor has really set us up, and I thank God for the technology, and that God has found his way into technology. And you know, the problems that we have in the world are not with the things that God's created, it's the things that the devil tries to destroy. You know, we talk about technology and the evils of technology, Facebook, social media, all of these things that God's the creator. The devil comes to destroy, and so he takes God's creation and turns it into his evil. But happy Labor Day to you! I mean, how many of here have received a Labor Day card in the mail? Has anyone ever sent anybody a Labor Day card? How many pick up the phone and say, you know what, happy Labor Day? Does your neighbor run down and chase you down and say happy Labor Day? I mean, how many here really have you received a gift on Labor Day?
Day off.
A day off. Yeah. Well, let me give you some surprising facts about Labor Day just real quick before we get to what I really want to talk about. Is that Labor Day was created in 1882 when 10,000 people descended upon Washington to protest labor. The holiday sometimes is known as the last day you can wear white. Did you know why? Well, you know, maybe we oftentimes think, well, we're going into winter. By the way, we are. That's also Labor Day is the unofficial last day of summer. How many got excited about that? I mean, we know it's coming. It's winter, right? Anyone else excited about Labor Day? Ironically, has been the most worked day of all holidays, Labor Day, right? I mean, anybody, and how ironic is it that on Labor Day, you have some of the best mattress sales going on? I mean, it's the day known for the sale of things for you to rest on. Have you ever correlated that one? It's the end of hot dog season. Yeah, I didn't know if you knew that or not. But Labor Day is the unofficial day to stop wearing white. You know why? See, in 1882 when they protested, one of the things they were protesting is the separation between the haves and the have-nots. And the haves could wear white. And those who did not. You see, I think Labor Day should be Happy Curse Day. I gotta tell you, I normally get excited when I receive a phone call from Pastor Brad to come and preach. And when I answered his phone call and he asked me, I said yes. But I really wasn't that excited. Truth is, thanks, Pastor. I tried to hide it the best I can, but you know, it's really hard to hide sometimes our true feelings, is it not? And I hope I passed up it. But I also got thinking, why wouldn't Pastor want to preach? Because I could tell him he was too tired. When he spoke to me and told me why he was, I don't think he was giving me the stage here thinking that I was going to change or create some great revelation for any of you. I think he was exhausted and tired. Labor Day. I didn't want to take and do this, to be honest with you. And yesterday, after a long day, my day starts at about 6 o'clock on Friday, and I get home about 1 o'clock in the morning from being on the air all day, and it's something I enjoy doing typically, but it becomes laborsome. From purposeful to laborsome. And I was tired and exhausted. I got up, and after I got the radio in the morning, sometime around 11 o'clock, I sat down at my kitchen table with my computer to write my sermon, and I fell asleep. I got up and I went for a run because I knew that if I could go for a run, then maybe I would waken up and I would come to life. And then surely God would drop something on me to share with you. But when I came back and sat in front of the computer, I fell asleep. Only if I got a little bit of rest, then surely I would wake up and God's going to give me something to share with all of you. And about 1 o'clock, or what time was it? About 11 o'clock, my daughter came home after a long day. And I woke up momentarily. And I fell back asleep. Every time I would get on the computer, I'd fall asleep. Every time that I would get on the computer to work on this Proclaim after getting this really new, awesome computer, you know, Apple was going to change the world. It was going to become easier. And everything was going to become easy. All I found was work or labor. See, that's when I turned it over to God. This morning I said, you know, God, this is yours. This is no longer going to become laborsome for me. I want set free of the labor, and I just want to come and be in you. Amen. And if you called me today to work, God, then I want to come to work. And I want to come to work with passion and purpose. And the passion and purpose is in you. And so this day, Labor Day, really should be titled Curse Day. Labor versus work. And there is a difference. Slave versus volunteer. There's a difference. Routine versus dance. There's a difference. Big difference. And this morning, I really threw away all the little thoughts I thought I had, and I just wanted to come and share with you. And I'm going to share with you something that a run that I took. See, I think God wants to speak to us, but He doesn't want to speak to us and just to give us information. He wants us to have revelation. So, Father God, I come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit is here, that we are in a moment of worship, that, Father God, we are just entering into this place of rest, falling at your feet, Lord Jesus, to be filled back up. Lord, to open our eyes to the purpose that you have for us, to fill us with passion. So, Father God, this day of labor, Lord, you take it away. Provide us a moment of rest and stir up inside of us the gifts you've given us so that we can be purposeful and passionate in this world. And Father, I just hope that my face, my voice disappears and the words that they hear, Lord, are from you. I yield every moment to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Revelation. It's a difference between information. And when we get information and it becomes revelation, then we get transformation. And I pray that even this morning in my weariness that I bring some revelation. I love to run. And it's amazing when God gives you revelation, it doesn't stop with the initial revelation. It's revelation upon revelation. It's the building of information. It's like God gives you, it drops things into you. And maybe He's speaking to you right now, and I hope He is. And it may not be from my words. It may be the second thought that you're having in your mind, maybe someplace else. I don't care where it's coming from other than I just want it to come from God and giving you the revelation you need. You see, about 10 years ago, my father, he became ill, opened the door up for God to work in his life and change his life. Amen. I was a tool in that moment. And I was called to work. Because in that moment, I had to take care of my father in a very busy life. And who here doesn't have a busy life? Who here doesn't have a life full of labor? But in that moment of labor, I was called to do things I didn't want to do, like taking to doctor appointments. And I remember in this one particular day, it was a rainy day. And see, I need, like all of us need, a drops to displace our mind, our thought. We need things to displace our moment of labor. And I use running as a way of breaking free from the labor. believe it or not. Because it gives me a place to be free. Free from all the other thoughts, and it actually revives me to have this moment in time where I'm actually at peace, where I'm running when I'm running. And by the way, you can work really hard at something and not feel the labor. And for me, running is that place where I can get to God. It's my quiet place. And I need it. I really need it. And I remember this cold, miserable day where my schedule was overwhelmed. And I really wasn't at peace, and I really needed peace, and I needed my run at lunch. But my day was filled, I couldn't get there, I couldn't get my run, and I had to take my dad to his doctor's appointment. And my clients ran late, and I had 20 minutes, literally 20 minutes, between the time I had to leave my office, get my dad, take him to his doctor's appointment, and that was all I was given to run. But I was going to make it happen, because I really needed this rest. I really needed this peace. I really needed this. And I went for my run. And on this run, it's cold, it's miserable. I only had a few minutes to get there, and I had to get back. And as I was running, it goes from concrete to a rock road. And as I'm running, it's raining, it's cold, it's miserable. I've got to get back. Nothing seems to be going good in the world. And I was really upset. I was tired like I am now. And as I took my step off the concrete onto this rock road, I stepped in, and doggone it, didn't that step just go right into mud? And I'm slipping, and you know, you get a little groin slip, and now you got a little pain on top of, you know, being pressured and running late, and you're muddy, and you're wet, and you're miserable. And I did something that maybe you're wanting to do. Called out. Kind of challenged God. I said, God, why did you make this life so hard? Why did you make this so difficult? Now, God's big enough to handle our challenges. Maybe sometimes it forces us to have conversation. You know, in some of our challenges in life with our kids, with our family, with our spouse, some of those times those challenges bring up opportunities to have conversation. God wants to have conversation with us. But he's not just here to give us information. He wants to have revelation so that that revelation can turn to transformation. And I said, God, why did you make this life so hard? Why did you make it so difficult? And he showed me a picture of Adam and Eve in the garden. I'm like, man, that's not the question, God. The question is, why did you make this life so hard? And as I'm running, he's dropping an image of Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden. I said, God, you got this all wrong. You're still not hearing me. I said, why did you make this so hard? And a little bit further, he shows me a picture of Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden. They're naked, and they're hiding, and I can see them hidden behind. And I said, God, I have asked you, why did you make this so hard? Why are you making this so hard? And as I went from the muddy rock road back onto the old highway, I stepped on, and God just had to finally take the sledgehammer and hit me upside the head with it. And he showed me Adam and Eve, and they were hiding. They were naked, and they were in the garden. The question was, God, why'd you make this so hard? Here's what I saw for the first time. You know, we oftentimes see Adam and Eve, and we go, you know this story, by the way. You know, for most of us who tried to read through the Bible, we start usually at Genesis. We're only chapter one in. We're one chapter in, man. We're 26 verse where we start to see what God's plan is for us. And he did plan for us to work, by the way. He didn't plan for us to labor. God, why'd you make this so hard? Adam and Eve, they're hiding, and they're naked. And before, I just saw shame. I saw shame because we know why they were hiding in that scripture here in a second. We're going to see they were hiding. And they were ashamed. My dog runs around the house naked. And he's not ashamed. And for all this time, I've seen Adam and Eve, and they're hiding, and they're naked, and they're ashamed. And I'm thinking about them being ashamed, but I'm not thinking about the state that they had to be in before they realized and bought the first lie. See, the state they were in beforehand, folks, before Satan crawled up there and he gave them their first lie, the first lie that we bought into, the lie of pride. You know, when they're in the garden and Satan crawls up there and says, oh, surely you will not die. Just take. And the moment she took and she got knowledge, because, see, devil was telling him, you know, God just doesn't want you to know what he knows. But the moment she grabbed that fruit and she took a bite, passed it on to her husband, and by the way, she didn't trick him. He willfully went. Once we bought that first lie, man, we didn't know truth. And it's what we struggle with right now. What is truth? God, why did you make this so hard? They're naked. They're in the garden. Yes, they're ashamed because they realize they have shame. But have you ever contemplated what life was really meant for them before they realized they were naked? Before they realized they were naked. And they lived in a world that, get this one, folks, that didn't even require clothes. God had made this so easy for mankind that it didn't even require clothes. Have you thought that one through? That the only way that they knew that they were naked, by the way, if you go outside, it's a pretty nice day. And last night and yesterday was beautiful. But even on the best days around here, and I'm walking around naked, whether you looked at me funny or not, or whether I even knew that you were looking at me funny because I was naked or not, I would know I was naked. Because even on the best day, it's a little uncomfortable to be naked. I don't know about you, but I sure like a pair of shoes, even in the softest grass. But God had made a world so easy for mankind to live in, it didn't even require clothes. The question I ask is, God, why did you make this so hard? Now, I know you've lived that image in your mind about them hiding and being naked and being ashamed, and you thought about being ashamed. But have you thought about how God had really made this pretty easy for us until we bought the first lie? God's given us a purpose. And on that run, God shows me Adam and Eve, and they're naked, and they're hiding in their garden, and my eyes suddenly open up, and God hits me with that 2x4 upside the head and says, hey, I didn't make this hard. I made it easy. It wasn't until Satan came along and got you to buy this first lie that this thing got hard. I mean, I don't know about you. I'm raising kids, and I'm going to tell you, it's hard, because all you want them to do is see the truth. The truth is, I don't have rules in my home. I'm not trying to make their life complicated. I just want them to know the truth, man. If you do this, the consequences of this is this. And as I ran a little bit further, I got up on the hill. And on this hill, as I go out Old 34, and some of you ran that race, okay, the road. If you're going out on Old 34 out towards out of town, you're going to see that the Catholic cemetery is there. And as I run by that Catholic cemetery every day, multiple times a day, because some days require 3 runs, right? As I go by that cemetery, man, I look off to the left, and there it is, Jesus Christ upon that cross. And as I ran by there that morning, after God had said, hey, man, I made this thing easy, you just bought the stinking lie. I see Jesus Christ sitting up on that cross, and God said, you know, I made it easy again for you. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. Now do backflips, cartwheels, make sure you're sitting right there today. See, if you weren't here today, God wants you here too. But that's not what he was saying. He's saying, man, I come to set you free. You know, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whomever believes in him shall not perish. Believe in him. Not just believe that Jesus Christ existed, but believe in him. That we start to believe in him. That the things and the promises and the hope that he gives us is true. If you are looking at the book of life like some religions have, their book of death, you missed it. If you're looking at this as a place to come and spare you from going to hell, you missed it. I've missed it. See, believing in Jesus isn't just a ticket into heaven. It's a ticket to life. Life full here, now. God gave us work in that garden. First chapter, Genesis. I'm going to pull up here and read it. And I think I can read it. You know, my eyes are falling because when we bought the first lie, suddenly we started to experience death. And you know what? I got a car out there. I got thinking about this. I got a car, and I don't. Somebody told me this. And this isn't really what my. I got a car out there. It's a new car. It's about. Well, it's old now. It's a year old. That car in 10 years is going to be really old. In 30 years, it's probably going to be rusted over and done, would you think? And, you know, in today's China world, sorry, China, not going to pick on you, but a nice virus you brought us. thanks, you know, but man, they're making stuff that dies quick. And we're dying quick. My car is going to be, it's going to be dust before long. My eyes are experiencing death. But God made us to last a long time. You know, the actuary tables now say 121. You know, in Genesis, you start to read some of these dates and these lineages, right? And you're thinking, well, how in the world did they have 40 generations and they're still living? You know, and I take the Bible literally. I encourage you to as well, that every ounce of its truth, not figuratively speaking, literally speaking, it's truth. Tremendous history book, by the way. The most studied and I don't know about you, but I kind of like having my faith being both ways, not just an emotional feeling. By the way, I got emotional singing here a little bit ago, right? But I also like the idea of having fact. See, our faith is powerful because it's got fact. The Bible is literal. But they were living 400, 500, 600,000 years, right? And you know, then the world started to die. And as you got closer to Jesus, man, life expectancy was in its 20s and 30s. And then we're going the other way because now Jesus came into the world. And what you find is now we're living a little longer. You're worried about this virus. We're living in the blessings of Jesus Christ, not the curse. So let's look at this really quick because I want to say God did give us work, but he didn't give us labor. God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. Wait a second. You mean I'm made in the image of God? Okay. Male and female. There wasn't like a double standard. You know, it wasn't. Anyway. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Now here's our work. Here's our work. God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool day and Adam I've got past. You know, this is what I do because you get old and your mind doesn't work. Yeah, so that was in chapter 1. Two chapters later, we don't even make it two chapters in the book before we fall. Again, why, God, did you make this so hard? Why did you make this life so hard that I feel I'm so overwhelmed and labored? Happened two chapters later. We didn't make it two chapters in this book. And here they are. They're hiding. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? I assure you, God knew exactly where Adam was. Okay. By the way, how many of us used, I decided I'm going to find God again? Maybe you at home, you think God's lost. Maybe you are trying to find God. He's not lost. And He knows exactly where you're at. And you're not lost. And he said, I heard my voice, thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Again, how would you know you're naked? I made this pretty comfortable for all of you. Didn't even require clothes, but now you know you're naked. If you knew you're naked and you ever, I don't know about you. There's things I learned in science class that I did not know that even existed until a teacher like Troy tells me. Many of those things I don't see. So then how would you know that you didn't have clothes? At this point in time, there was no clothes. I don't even know how hairy they were. I think you look at a lion and you had dominion over everything. How you look at a lion, the lion's got a little bit of fur on it, but I don't think I do. Anyway, at what point would you even know what clothes were? Just saying. And he said, Who told thee thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou should not eat? And the man said, The woman who... this is what we do, isn't it, men? It wasn't me. I don't know what you're talking about. So we're always looking for great excuses because we become great excuse makers. The excuses in our life will lead us to the place the devil wants us to be. The place where we do nothing. And thou, Lord God, said unto the woman, what is thou that hast done? The woman said, The serpent beguiled me. Lied to me. I don't know where, this is not the translation that I had, but this is what pulled up. And I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Let us get this one right. Let us get this one right. So here we are. We went from this place where God gave us work to the place where now we see labor. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed. Now, who is God speaking to? And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this. Who is he talking to? Satan. Thou art cursed. Above all cattle, and above every beast of the field, upon thy belly thou shalt go, and dust thou shalt eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity... I think that's a word. I don't know what it means, honestly. Between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy labor. Thy sorrow and thy conception. In the King James, I believe it says labor. Here's the word labor. When my wife goes into labor, when a woman goes into labor, how many women get excited about hearing that one? That's the problem. Our work has become labor. Thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be thy husband. Not a woman, sometimes I think that might be your curse. Who was cursed? And then to Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I command thee, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Again, I wish that I would have grabbed the right translation here. But it's just talking about labor, the word labor. Eating becomes hard. Living becomes hard. It becomes laborsome. Conceiving a child becomes hard. Because we're living under the curse. And I think what happens is that we start to, what the devil has done to us in that lie, it's continued. We bought the first lie. And see, for God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whomever believes in Him, Jesus Christ, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Life. Now. Christ came to break the chains. He came to set us free. And I'm going to get to it. I know it. I think. Breaking the chains. See, Jesus came to be the chain breaker. We have bought in this lie that we live under a curse. And we were under the curse. See, the devil was cursed. The ground was cursed. Life become hard. It become laborsome. It become difficult. Jesus breaks the curse. Jesus broke those chains. And if we just believe in Him, not just in His resurrection so that we could have go to heaven, but that maybe we could live more abundantly in this world. And Jesus returned into the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and they went out a fame of Him through all the region around. And He taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. And He came to Nazareth, where He had been brought up. And this is in Luke. And His custom was, He went into the synagogues on the Sabbath day. Sabbath day, the day of rest. Today is supposed to be the day of rest. Rest must be important. Do you think? You know, but when God rested, and He did on the Sabbath, God didn't need the rest for the recovery of His body. He is God. He didn't need the rest like we think we need the rest. He didn't need the rest so that He could be recovered, so He, God, could re-strengthen to go back on Monday. He used that day of rest of reflecting upon His work. It wasn't labor for God. It was His joy. You were made as His joy. And He was taking a moment to reflect upon His joy. And there's power in reflecting upon this. Sunday should be a day of reflection, a day of rest, where we reflect. And by the way, this should be a powerful day. This is why worship's so important. It's like I'm getting rejuvenated because my body is breaking down. I am not God because I was made in His image, and then I, you know, did this crazy thing where I bought the first lie, and I haven't remembered that I was made in His image. And if the devil can get me to stand still and do nothing and make me forget who I am and not to believe in Him, then I'll do nothing, and I'll be tired, and I'll be worn out, and all I'll do in life is labor. All I'll do is go to and show up at my job and wait for Labor Day so I can get that day off for my job. But your day of rest is a day of reflection, a day of reflecting on the blessing of our work. Hey, I'm going to take this day off to celebrate what we've done. I have something to look back on and take joy and pride in. And the devil does not want you to have joy and pride in your work. And here's what I'm going to leave you. And I want to get on because we want to get to communion and we want to get about this day. But what if I told you there's something far worse in life than losing? Called never trying. And my daughter's going to love me because I get to share this a lot. And this, you've heard this one before. But I remember my daughter, 5 years old, and dance. And she would take dance and she'd go to dance. And, you know, dance is a year-long thing. It's work. And I remember her going to dance and then coming home, and we would get the music and Mom would play the little music and she would get up there and she'd dance at home, and it took a while, you know, just like you and your work. It takes a while to get the steps down, right? It really takes a while. You learn your routine versus dance. work versus labor, slave versus volunteer. And she would go and she would do her routine at home, come back and she'd do it and she'd have it down, she'd smile, and she was there was joy. And I'll never forget my first dance recital. It's not only an important day for the child, but it's a day of learning for the father. It's a long day, right? I was going to say, it's a long day. And my first dance recital, I remember we were getting ready to go down, and here comes Kinnick and Scarlett downstairs. They come downstairs, and I get to see her for the first time, and what they've been doing upstairs is making her into this beautiful makeup and hair up, and the outfit's beautiful, and she's just stunning. That's also a curse for a dad. And I remember Mom pushing the play button, because back then we still had the play button, and she did her dance. She danced, and it was beautiful. And she knew everything, and she'd smile. Every once in a while, I play those songs when she's not around. We get in the car and we play the music all the way to Ottumwa. And when we get to Ottumwa and we get there, my wife makes me take on father responsibilities. And I didn't realize this. Maybe some of you maybe knew fathers to a daughter that's going to dance. But you know, the important job for a father is to make sure you get in the front row in the front seat and that you have your camera out, because your job is to make sure you capture every moment. Are we busy capturing moments instead of living moments? Because sometimes I'm too busy capturing the moment rather than living it. But I remember sitting there in the front row, dad on. I'm full dad, man. I'm full dad. Curtains pull back. Kids come on. Lights come on and play the music. What happened next? Killed my heart. Here's what she did. Oh, yeah. And for some, they laughed. For this, daddy's crying. There was no smile. All the joy that I'd seen before was gone. I can tell you, I was not upset that my daughter was not going to get a scholarship at the Juilliard School of Dance, or that she was going to find her way on Dancing with the Stars. Or whatever's that new dance thing that's going on? I think the Tiger Lady's going to be on. I don't know. Carol Baskins. She's going to be on, so it might be worth watching. But my heart didn't stop that she wasn't going to make it on some dance show. It's torn apart because she didn't dance. See, her dance became a routine. And when the routine became such that she was afraid that she was going to fail in her routine, she did nothing. And it became labor. And all you could see is this. And you know what she wanted to do? She just wanted to get off the stage. And that's why I fell asleep at the computer. That's why that run was so hard. It's because I've fallen victim to the labor. I've fallen victim to the routine. And we just do. And if I was a devil and I hated God's creation, and I know he does, because he's envious and jealous of you, because he knows how you were made in his image. And he knows your purpose. To glorify God. And he knows when you do that, you dance. And when you dance, it's a beautiful thing. And if I was a devil and I hated his creation, I'd get him to not dance and do nothing. To find labor rather than work. To not know the truth and to not believe in him. It's time to dance. It's hard, but it's all taken away when we know we cannot fail. And what we're most afraid of in life is what we don't know. how it's going to end, the outcome. This virus, this virus, this life. You know, two Sundays ago, I decided to have tackle football. 72 hours before, I decided not. On a vacation, I received notice that certain teams weren't going to be able to play. The schools were having problems. Twin Cedars was down. All the news was this virus is spreading, and oh, it's too much labor. And I decided, on my little vacation with all this information coming to me, on a boat, I took my family, went for a quick ride or a quick trip down to Eureka Springs, Arkansas. By the way, I encourage you to go to Eureka Springs, Arkansas, and go see The Passion. Oh, in life is awesome. But I decided not to have football after having all this information. I was on the boat, and I got texts coming in from people with opinions. And all the information. And I decided it wasn't worth it. Too much risk. Too much labor. And I came at peace. I made that decision in my mind. I even told my family I'm not going to have it. And for a few moments, do you know what it set upon me? Thank you. As I'm writing, I'm telling my wife about, I'm going to have some time to do some things. Man, my wife gets to see me for fall. I think about the trips she's wanted to take. I thought about the places we could go. I thought about the moment I could spend more time on a boat than I am. I thought about my free Tuesdays, Thursdays, Sundays, Wednesdays. Oh, every evening, free. I thought about the freedom I had in not doing. And it was at that point I realized, I'm doing it. See, God did not call me to have an easy life. He called me to be a stronger man. He didn't call me to rest. He called me to work and to celebrate, to live, to dance. And the moment I realized, hey, you don't even have to do the work. Dance. Are you dancing? Are you a slave? Or are you a volunteer? God did not put shackles upon us. He set us free. Set us free so that we could freely dance, because dancing with chains doesn't go so well, does it? And He wants you to dance. And you cannot fail. Cannot fail. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whomever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe? And if you do, you're free. You're free to dance. If you haven't started dancing, maybe you need to know the man that made you in His image, who created you for the dance. And He made His perfect Son so that those chains that were bound to mankind could be free. He didn't go to that cross to condemn you. He came this wide, this big, to set you free. All you have to do is believe in Him. And then believe in Him. Not just believe He existed, but believe in Him. That's where we move from faith to trust. That we know that we know that we know that who we are and who God made us to be. To dance. So, if you haven't asked Jesus Christ into your life, and you haven't made Him the one you believe in, because maybe you're still listening to the lie, because that's the problem with the world, is we're listening to the lie. It's time to listen to the voice of the author that created us. Hear his song and dance his dance. I'm going to ask you at this time, if you haven't, to take one simple step. And it's so simple, the devil would never want you to know it. It's learning how to break dance. My brother Jimmy, by the way, used to be a tremendous break dancer. He could Michael Jackson it with the best of them. And you know what was funny is that when he was hanging out with us, his brothers, he would do the worm, he would do the moonwalk, he'd break dance. But if you called him out today and had him come up here, or if you called him out and I said, hey, at that age, yeah, he's gonna come up and try it. If I called him out at that time, back then, to do it in front of other people, he'd never do it. That's a problem. You know, we feel comfortable in here and dancing. It's when we leave out here, it gets tough, it'll be hard. Right? Because we're afraid. And that's what the devil wants us to be. He wants us to be afraid. He wants us to stand still on that stage and do nothing. And the stage is not in here. The stage is out there. He wants you to dance. And the only way to dance freely is having Jesus Christ inside of you. So he can do the steps. Because this old body doesn't have all the right steps. And this old mind doesn't have all the right thoughts. So he comes and lives inside of you, and you invite him in. And that's the place of trust. So if you haven't done that, I invite you to do that with me today. It's not a hard thing. It's very easy. And that alone is why the devil has tried to get us to buy the lie. So it's time to hear the truth. So I'm going to ask you, if you haven't done this, to join me. But it's not my words. It's got to be from your heart. Because this is a hard issue. And so I'm going to ask you, if you haven't done this before, maybe if you just would with me today, just to reaffirm that. You know, I tell my wife I love her all the time. I actually even redid our vows a few years back. None of that was required, right? Tell her once. And so you don't have to ask Jesus into your heart 100,000 times. But it's okay to remind him that you love him. And it's okay to re-exchange those vows. Jeremy and Andrea got married a few weeks ago. Right? Yep. So, hey, keep telling her you love her. Keep reminding her that we're married. But if you haven't done it for the first time, I'm going to ask you to do it with me now. So if every eye is closed, every head bowed. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, if you'll repeat after me, or people, if you'd repeat after me and accept Jesus in. God, we thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died on the cross and was raised again. Lord, we believe in you. We believe in you, Jesus. We ask you to come into our heart and to our life. And we make you our Lord and our Savior. And we thank you for the gift of freedom that comes in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've said that prayer, then just continue to have that conversation with God, that one-on-one conversation. I invite you to find a local church. Become a part of that family. That's what we are here, is family. And even in my own family, sometimes we make mistakes and we say things and hurt each other. But in the family, you know you have protection, and you're free to dance. So we invite you to find a home here and to find out more about believing in Jesus and the dance he has for you. Thank you, and we're going to take communion here momentarily.